quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is Stuart Venner. I tell it as I see it, and I see it as it is.
It was interesting, but it was also stupid.
It's Thanksgiving Day and we're gathered round. Little children make a joyful sound. And there's no school and we get to play. And we're all thankful for this day, except for the turkey. La 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 la, except for the turkey. There's a wreath of leaves on the front door, and we all say what we're thankful for. There's such good food, and there's such great fun, and there's such big smiles on everyone, except for the turkey.
This is Stuart Venner. I want to welcome you to this week's show. We've got a great lineup of guests in store. We're speaking to Elizabeth Bintliff. She's with Heifer International, and she's an organization that brings food to Africa. We're speaking to Dr. Jeffrey LaGrasso. He's a world-renowned plastic surgeon located in Miami, and he actually puts fat back into women's butts. That I don't quite understand. We're also going to talk to Lee McCormick about addictions and recovery. We're speaking to Mark Weinstein about online privacy and the advocate against the NSA. And finally, we have a weekly segment starting this week with Fred Claridge, the stock market moron. Stay tuned. I know you're going to like the show.
Skokian, 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 Skokian. Oh, far away in Africa, happy Africa. They sing a bingo, bango, bingo. They have a ball and really go. Skokian, Skokian, Skokian. Oh, take a trip to Africa. Any ship to Africa. Come on along and learn the lingo. Beside a jungle bungalow. Skokian, Skokian, Skokian. Hot drums are drumming, the hot strings are strumming, and warm lips are blissful, they're kissful of Skokian. Oh, if you go to Africa, happy, happy Africa, you'll linger longer like a kingo, right in the jungle on the
Skokie, 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 Skokian. Okie dokie, anybody can. Skokie, Skokie, man oh man oh man. You'll sing a bingo, bango, bingo. In Okie Pokie Skokian, Skokian.
Oh, far away in Africa, happy, happy Africa. They sing a bingo, bango, bingo. They have a ball and really go. Oh,
take a trip to Africa. Any ship to Africa. Come on along and learn the lingo. Beside a jungle bungalow. Drums are drumming, the hot strings are strumming, and warm lips are blissful, they're kissful of Skokian. Oh, if you go to Africa, happy, happy Africa, you'll linger longer like a kingo, right in the jungle on the low.
Skokian, 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 Skokian,
oh, right in the jungle on the low.
We're speaking to Elizabeth Bintliff. Elizabeth is Vice President of Africa Programs for Heifer Project International. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Thank you for having me, Stuart.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Can you tell us a little bit what you're doing with Heifer Project?
Heifer Project International is a nonprofit organization based in Little Rock, Arkansas. We work in about 38 countries throughout the world. And really what we do is we work with smallholder farmers, farmers who have small pieces of land, you know, few animals and so on, to help them improve their productivity so that they can take care of their families, take care of themselves, and improve their livelihood.
That's certainly a noble thing to do, my goodness. And you're primarily working in Africa?
The largest part of our portfolio is in Africa, but as well we work in Eastern and Central Europe, we work in Asia, we work in Latin America. We work in the U.S. We work in the Delta. It's very important for us to remember that there is poverty in the U.S. and that we are suffering some of the same challenges with agriculture as are happening elsewhere in the world.
What are you actually supplying, the grains or the seeds or teaching the people to farm? What are you doing?
It is mostly about teaching the people to farm. A lot of people that we work with, they do have land, they have some resources. But as a people, as a world, we're losing a lot of our knowledge around agriculture, and we're losing a lot of our labor and skills around agriculture. And we're really interested in making sure that we don't do that. So part of our work is also about introducing agriculture to young people, but working with people who already farm to improve their productivity and improve the way that they profit from farming.
Sure. You don't see, how's a small farmer in this country, in our country? Are they still, are there still small farmers out there?
There are. Small farms are disappearing, but there are a lot of people who are committed to small farming, who are committed to ensuring that the quality of food that we get on our tables is good. So, obviously, the definition of a small farmer in the U.S. is quite different from one in Africa. But you'd be surprised. They face a lot of the same challenges, and they're not always profitable. And that has an impact for all of us in the food that comes to our table. So it's something that we are all concerned about.
Of course. Now, in Africa, these are people that are actually growing food to feed their own families. So this is...
That's true. That's the first thing, is growing food to feed their own families. They have to take care of themselves, but, what do they do with the surpluses? They need markets to sell them, and that's also part of what we do.
That's wonderful. And you speak a lot of languages, don't you?
I speak a few, yes.
English,
I speak
French?
I speak French. I'm originally from Cameroon, so
okay.
I grew up around a lot of different languages.
And how did you get into something like this?
My background is actually in African studies. That's what I studied in school, and I kind of just fell into agriculture. Most of what I've learned from being at Heifer. And being in this job and having a very fortunate and a tremendous amount of exposure and experience with farmers and in Africa.
That's marvelous. Now, Heifer Project, is it a religious organization or not?
Well, we have, our origins are in religion. Our founder was a minister, very involved in the church in 1944. But we work with all faiths of people. We work, obviously, in different parts of the world with people who come from all kinds of different faiths. And what's important for us is helping people improve their lives.
Your founder, was he a missionary in Africa?
He was a missionary. Well, he wasn't a missionary. I take that back. He was a volunteer during the Spanish Civil War, giving out milk, powdered milk, to men and women on both sides of the war.
Oh.
And really, the idea of the organization came from his realization that providing milk and providing that kind of assistance was not sustainable, and that what made more sense was helping people grow their own food. And so his philosophy was that we need to provide not a cup, but a cow. And that is really the foundation of what Heifer is about.
So it's like give a man a fish, what is it, and they have one meal, but teach him to fish.
That's absolutely right. We use that a lot in our work. And we receive a lot of support from churches, various kinds of denominations. So, yes, that's something that resonates across denominations.
Well, can you tell everyone how they can learn more about Heifer International and how they could perhaps donate and help your cause?
Absolutely. Our website is heifer.org, H-E-I-F-E-R. That's a great place to learn more about our organization and to support our mission by donating, which we appreciate.
Well, Elizabeth, I want to thank you again for coming on the show. And everyone out there, you want to help feed people and teach people how to farm and how to feed themselves. Heifer International sounds like the place to go. It really does. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Perfectly matches. Touch my plastic face and see what happens. I'm hiding from the world behind Chanel sunglasses. Limo tinted lipstick, secrets, knife thin. Can you see us? Crushed diamonds, dollar bills. In my purse is every pill. Big smiles, tabloids, tasteless. Pretty portion, Fendi faceless. Plastic noses, mannequin poses. Expensive clothes, my face is froze.
Plastic parts, broken hearts. Masterpiece, scalpel, please.
Pink razor, so vain.
Let's have a sexy party.
Nose jobs and champagne.
Sounds like a peeing party.
Pink razor, so vain.
Let's have a sexy party.
Nose jobs and champagne. Sherbert, popsicle lips, perfection is tucks and nips. Collagen pumps and lipoed hips. Hollywood glamour, lip gloss tricks. Surgery scars and beauty marks. Botox, amusement parks. Pageant parade, suicide past. Beauty will never last.
Folks, welcome back to the show. I've got a real fun guest and an important guest on the line. We're talking to Dr. Jeffrey LaGrasso. Dr. LaGrasso is a plastic surgeon. He's in the Miami area now. He has quite an extensive training and background, and we're going to talk about plastic surgery. Dr. LaGrasso, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stuart. Thank you.
Now, how long have you been doing plastic surgery?
I completed my training in 2006, so, you know, going on, 7 years now.
Well, then it should give you pretty good experience by now. What are you doing primarily? Men, women? I would think women.
You'd be surprised. The majority of the aesthetic patients are women, but men over the last couple of years have been one of the fastest growing segments. I would say about 25% of my patient population now is men.
That's very interesting.
I do a lot of liposuction. I do a lot of which is called laser high-definition liposuction, which is where you're really trying to etch out that six-pack that I work out all the time look.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's just one of my specialties, and that's predominantly men who want that. So
that's very interesting.
All the time.
I know my father had a cousin, and she looked exactly like him. And as a man, my father was okay looking. He looked all right, but she was really butt ugly. I mean, I think something about an ugly woman.
I hear you.
They really need your services. So what type of service are you doing the most? Liposuction? Are you doing a lot of boobs?
I do a lot of my specialties that I do a lot of are face, facelifts, facial rejuvenation, eye surgery, nose surgery, and a lot of liposuction. I use the Vaser, which is an ultrasound-assisted liposuction. With that, I do a lot of them, like I was talking about, where I'm kind of sculpting out, the stomach muscles or the chest muscles, the shoulders, creating more definition.
Wow.
And then, one of the things I've really been doing a lot in the last year has been this new protocol that I've developed for cellulite. And that's something that affects 85% of women after puberty. And we kind of came along this device, which uses an ultrasound technology, which is called the Vaser Smooth, where we can actually get permanent results in the treatment of cellulite. And I've been getting some fantastic results with it.
Well, my God, you're doing God's work, creating less ugly women.
down here in Florida, and, I also trained in Los Angeles. Everybody's wearing, skirts or bathing suits.
Sure.
Everybody wants to have, nice legs. It's a feature point. And, having those dimpling and the irregularities in the leg has just been driving women crazy. And it's been one of those things that we really haven't been able to find a permanent solution for. There's tons of different lasers and machines that are out there, which can make some improvement, but it's constant changing, and it's something that you haven't had any permanence to it. And, you know, last year this technology came out, and I kind of pioneered it for the company, and I tried it on, 20 or 30 people just, for free when I was doing some liposuction to try to get, improvement in smoothing of the legs. And I'm like, wow, this is really working. This is, something
new. So you actually get rid of the cellulite. That's amazing.
I tell patients, nothing's going to make it 100%, but I can get anywhere between a 60 and 85% improvement.
Wow.
With a single treatment, that's done with a little bit of anesthesia. That takes somewhere between an hour and 2 hours, depending on, how much of the leg that I'm doing.
Well, Jeffrey, can I ask you? I read a little bit about you before I spoke to you. It seems like you're doing this. I didn't quite understand. You're actually putting fat into women's butts.
Yes, it's called the.
Don't we have enough fat-butted women out there right now?
Not down here in Miami.
That's true.
You'd be surprised. That's been one of the biggest procedures in the last couple of years. Don't know if it's been popularized by the Kim Kardashians of the world and a lot of these, Real Housewife women of Atlanta who've been having the procedures done. So it's gotten a lot of TV publicity. And I have patients who fly in from all over the place, up in New York, out in San Francisco, some people from Europe, because Miami is really the hotbed of this. This is kind of where it's popularized.
I think it's so important, though, that people, that's not one area where they should look for the bargain. I mean, what you're going to look like, and you need someone like yourself.
Plastic surgery in general is not price shopping. And, I always tell patients that you can't expect to go into the Ferrari dealership and pay the price of a Volkswagen. They're both cars, but they run two different ways, and they have two different engines. And unfortunately, a lot of patients, will just go somewhere just because it's cheap or to save a couple hundred dollars. And then the problem is,
they can
a lot
be
of times
disfigured. They can just be horrible looking.
A lot of people aren't going to, plastic surgeons in general. There are, unfortunately, a lot of other specialties who are practicing outside of their scope of practice doing, cosmetic procedures. And, the best time to get the best results is the first time. And to go back in there and try to fix something that was done improperly the first time, one, will cost the patient more money because it's a much more difficult operation, and it's much more difficult to correct. There needs to be a lot of research done, by the patient to see who's doing their surgery.
I'll tell you kind of a funny story. This is going back many years, but there was a man I knew. He was had a big business, very wealthy. But one of his trademarks was his nose, and he had a nose kind of like Jimmy Durante, if you remember that.
Okay.
And anyway, he had a daughter. She was a beautiful girl, except unfortunately she was born with her father's nose. And he lived in Texas, and he flew her out to Beverly Hills, California to a big plastic surgeon and had her nose done. But while she was in the office being checked, he was sitting in the waiting room, and there were two young girls about 15, 16 years old with bandages on their noses waiting to, have them removed. And he turned to them with his Jimmy Durante nose and said, "Girls, don't be nervous." He said, "I felt the same way before they removed my bandages." He probably scarred them for life.
He probably realized to bring him in pretty quick the next time.
Dr. LaGrassa, can you tell us where you are and how people can get to you and, use your services?
My main office is in Miami Beach, Florida, but I do come up to New York City, and I've just reissued my California license. I'll probably be coming out to Los Angeles a couple times a year. But, the best way to check where I am and to get all my numbers is to probably view my website, which is www.lagrassomd.com. And, we'll have access to my New York, my Miami number, and, can go from there.
Well, this has been a wonderful interview, and ladies and gentlemen out there, if you're looking to make yourself look better, Dr. Jeffrey LaGrassa is the man to do it, and he's in Miami, and he'll give you new boobs, bigger, smaller, put fat in your butt, take fat out of your butt, get rid of your cellulite, and make you look like a beautiful person. Dr. LaGrassa, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black, but when I come back, no, no, no. I ain't got the time, and if my daddy thinks I'm fine, they try to make me go to rehab.
Folks, welcome back to the show. I've got a great guest and an important subject to talk about with Lee McCormick. Lee is an expert and helps people with addictions and addiction problems. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Stuart.
Tell me, what addictions do you primarily help people and focus on?
The programs that I've been a part of creating and the work that I do, it really reaches out across a pretty broad spectrum.
Alcoholism,
drugs. Addiction, eating disorders, the co-occurring issues, psych issues, depression. So it's really, I look at this more as all of those issues are really the symptoms. Mm-hmm. And the real work is about helping people clear their perception and clean their life up and get grounded and centered again so they can come back and reconnect with the truth of who they really are.
Now, you've been doing this over 15 years, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Now, when you say addiction, let's take drugs or alcohol. That's an illness. This is not a 12-step program, is it?
We use the steps as one of the tools.
Okay.
We use meetings as one of the tools. And the 12-step program, I view it as a tool. It's not the answer. It's a tool. It's a great tool. And it certainly it's not the cure-all.
Okay.
We have a broad array of tools available to us to use with people in addressing all of the issues that, the different individuals face.
How do you feel about medicine, like naltrexone or Vivitrol or things like that?
you know, I try actually, and not push my personal opinion around a lot of medications. Personally, I tend to lean more toward a lot of the nutraceutical, the brain chemistry rebalancing natural applications, which is what the nutraceuticals do. But I think it's really important to keep bringing clients back to the fact that they're 100% responsible for the life that they're choosing to live. They're 100% responsible for the choices that they make. And what we do at the Integrative Life Center in Nashville is we really focus on that is a foundational aspect of recovery, is that the power that you hold is the power of choice in your life.
Well, do you think everybody has that choice? You don't think it maybe can be brain damage that was caused by these addictions and these opiates or alcohol, and the brain has to heal?
Well, there can be, yeah, and the brain can heal, but, you know, pharmaceutical drugs don't heal the brain. Pharmaceutical drugs impact they can temporarily provide, they can temporarily provide relief from symptoms, but long-term, in order to rebalance brain chemistry, you have to do it organically if you really want to reestablish a healthy brain chemistry. And
what do you recommend for that? Are there herbs, or what do you recommend people use?
It varies. It's a case-by-case situation, of course.
Sure.
You know, our clients are all dealt with on an individual basis. There's not any particular blanket policy, except that, you know, if you're going to choose to use and get high, then that's a deal breaker, basically. You can't reboot the system as long as you're continuing to poison it.
Of course.
There are several different lines. Dr. Ken Blum, who is the leading brain chemistry research man in the world today on addictions and mental health issues and brain chemistry, he's been working for, 30 years now on this, and just has numerous published papers, on results and on brain chemistry in relation to nutraceuticals, amino acid therapies, vitamin mineral supplement therapies. And Ken's developed, he has developed a supplement called Synaptogenix, which literally helps reboot all of the dopamine and serotonin levels in the brain, and it takes time. You know, you don't reverse years of use in a day or two or a week or two. And one of our issues culturally is that we want immediate results. You know, we want to go out and drink and do drugs and eat poorly, and we do those things for years, and then we hold this point of view that, well, if I go to treatment for 30 days, it should immediately just clean all that stuff up. Well, it doesn't work that way.
How long does it typically take for someone to cure their brain?
Again, it's an individual basis because it depends on the level of damage and abuse. I have seen with the amino acid therapies, I have seen pretty miraculous results within a week.
Really?
I worked with a couple people in a couple different places that were doing IV amino acid therapies. And I literally watched people, for instance, that had been strung out on meth for years or on alcohol that just couldn't sit and have a face-to-face, eye-to-eye conversation with you for more than 2 minutes, without just bouncing off the walls. And literally in 3 days of IV amino acid therapies, they would be completely present. So it was remarkable.
They were doing this for
detox. We don't work with the IVs. We don't work with the IVs where we're at. It's all orals. But the orals, within 2 weeks, it makes a substantial, there's a substantial shift.
Now, you have a couple recovery centers, don't you?
Well, I've started out as the founder of the Ranch Recovery Center, which is in Tennessee.
Okay.
and I owned the ranch for 15 years. I sold it 3 years ago. Sold the company. I'm still the landlord because I live on the ranch. Okay. The ranch is literally on a, I have about a 4,000 acre cattle operation.
And you have a place in Malibu, I understand?
I also started the Canyon Treatment Center in Malibu. And I worked with two or three other programs in Malibu, but I also sold my interest in the Canyon. I like to get in and create these programs and get the culture going and get the program going, and then I tend to, once the deal's up and running and going well, it takes on a life of its own, and then I'll go do something else. I stayed with the ranch for so long because it was my baby.
Now, how long does it typically take for someone in rehab?
Excuse me?
Well, how long a program is it for the rehab, for the typical person?
Well, typically, the inpatient aspect will be in 30 days, maybe 60 days.
Okay.
You know, that's dependent on the financial resources of the client. The program that I have, that I own today, is called the Integrative Life Center, and it's in Nashville. And the Integrative Life Center format works in 6-week increments as opposed to 30-day or 28-day increments. And that's based on all my years of experience. What I've witnessed with people is the inpatient period of treatment is very powerful, and it's also a bubble. You know, you go off to Hazelden or Betty Ford or Sierra Tucson or the ranch.
Right.
You go off to an inpatient program somewhere, and you're in a enclosed community. You're completely removed from the rest of the world. And in a lot of ways, that's a benefit to us. And in a lot of ways, that's really a challenge, because when you come out of that enclosed container, that bubble of treatment, and go back into the day-to-day world that we live in, if you don't have a congruent transition aftercare program, then it's just energetically and psychologically, it's a train wreck.
Lee, does insurance cover your program, the most insurance companies?
Yes, it does. The Integrative Life Center takes insurance.
Can you tell everyone how to find out more about you? Because we're running a little short on time, but how they can find out about your Integrative Life Center? Because if someone has addiction, I think they certainly need help, and you can't do it yourself.
Yeah, addictions, eating disorders, depression, any kind of mental health issue. It's the integrativelifecenter.com, and it's in Nashville, Tennessee.
That's integrativelifecenter.com in Nashville. Lee, I was talking to Lee McCormick. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, buyyourtimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Well, my- watching too. Your doctor keeps your urine for to clone your DNA. Those albums that you bought last night, well, now they know you're gay. Interpol has got a file on you, so does the FBI. McDonald's scans your face and there's a chip in your French fry. Your scan recorded, sold and sorted to a database in the sky. So whatever you do when they're talking to you, for God's sakes, lie. Lie, 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 lie.
We're back with a very, very interesting and informative guest, something we're all hearing about and talking about, and I think this is really important. We're talking to Mark Weinstein. Mark is a cyber expert. He is a blogger. He's going to talk about cyberbullying, NSA spying. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Stuart. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's really a pleasure having you. You've got quite an impressive resume. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, Stuart, it's interesting because we're building the next generation social platform called Scruples, and that's Scruples with group in the middle, Scruples.com.
That's clever.
And thank you. No, and it is absolutely a reference and a play on the word to have scruples, which is really about doing the right thing, to have integrity. So,
well, no one can argue that.
And I want, you know, I want our listeners to know that you're talking to a guy who was one of the founders of social networking back in 1998. I built one of the first social network companies years before Facebook, and we were called supergroups.com. We had superfamily.com, superfriends.com, and because today the conversation is about, where did this all come from? Where did this spying come from? Where did, you know, Facebook's ability to look at my likes and my loves, and Gmail's ability to read everything I write in my email, and Yahoo's the same ability. Where did this come from, the NSA's ability to peek and spy?
Scary, isn't it? My God.
Absolutely, and it's really, you know, especially for corporations, it's unprecedented.
Well, what can people do? I mean, you need these things or you want to use them, and it can be very dangerous.
Right, right, right. And we've been fed a false premise that in order for these companies to provide us with these remarkable services, that they have to spy on us, they have to scrape our data, they have to do that in order to be profitable. That's not true. If that was true, then capitalism would have never worked. You know, because in the history of capitalism, there's no such thing as spying on your customers in their living rooms and in their bathrooms and in their bedrooms and in their kitchens. You had to have the right products and the right services to attract people into your stores.
Well, there's always some perverts.
And then you had to serve them well.
So there's always some perverts. Okay? There's always some perverts out there that want to spy on you.
Right, right. But, you know, we're not in the premise of democracy.
That's right. I know every time I go into Google, they're always carrying all my information, and they're always suggesting things, which I don't know how they get this stuff.
It's really creepy today because there is a cross-platform sharing by these advertising networks. So, you know, for example, when you log into Facebook, no matter how strong you think you set your privacy settings, when you log out, they're still following you. They put what's called a tracking cookie on you, and soon they're going to have more sophisticated devices. And then, you know, so let's say you go to American Airlines to get a ticket to fly anywhere, to New York.
Okay.
And then you log back into a Facebook with a landline, all of a sudden you're getting these airline deals for New York. Or, you know, a friend of yours has liked, you know, a particular, you know, a potato chip or Coca-Cola or, you know, a picture, whatever it is, and all of a sudden you're getting marketed to by companies based on what your friends have liked.
That really is creepy.
It's an invasion of privacy.
So what does one do? What can you do?
Well, there's a couple of things you can do, and one of the things that we're talking about today is, why did I start Scruples? In 2010, when Mark Zuckerberg declared, he said this, there's video of him saying that privacy is a social norm of the past. We just changed 350 million people's privacy settings. No problem. And, you know, I heard him say that, and I had not been in the industry for a few years, you know, and I said, oh my gosh, this is not acceptable. I have to build a new company. And I actually, in that moment, I called my co-founder, Dr. Jonathan Wolf, one of the world's greatest user interface designers of social communication platforms. And I said, listen, we need to fix this. This is not acceptable that we're going to live in a world where privacy is dead. We have to bring privacy back to people. Certainly, the way we can do it is in a social platform. The new norm has got to be the old norm. That's what democracy is about. That's what it's always been about. It was in communist countries where there were secret police that spied on you, and everybody knew everything about your business, and we were raised in democracy. The law-abiding citizens have privacy, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, privacy in their homes. So we have to restore this.
You would certainly think so. Well, what are you doing with Scruples? And how can people take advantage of this? And just what is it doing exactly?
So, Scruples, let's talk about what does privacy mean? Because it's confused today. Privacy means, as Scruples, we have a Bill of Rights, a Privacy Bill of Rights, right on our homepage. And because we want people to remember, what does privacy mean? It means no tracking cookies. It means you own your content. I think our listeners probably know by now that Gmail owns everything you write as well as you do, that Facebook owns every picture and every post you make just like you do. They own it with you. That's weird. So, Scruples, you own your content. You own your personal information. We say it is explicitly not ours. Permissions and privacy are your rights. You control them.
Now, if you control the Scruples, what am I going to do with unscruples?
Well, what you're going to do with Scruples is like a social platform. Then it's a little different. You connect to your real-life communities. It's designed to replicate our real lives. Your coworkers, your friends, your family, everybody is separate. You separate them. So there's no, you know, a cross-pollination by mistake. So your grandmother doesn't see a post that was meant for your friends. And strangers don't see any of your posts. That's impossible. So we really address cyberbullying, which I'm very concerned about. And I've written a few very strong articles about on Huffington Post. So Scruples, you share photos, videos, documents. You can create documents also.
And you can share them in private with who you want to share them with.
Exactly. That's and beautiful. Nobody can see who shouldn't see. So even at Facebook, when you tighten up the hatches, so when you set your privacy settings to max at Facebook, they have what's called a friend-of-friends problem because they're designed to be an open platform. So the friends of your friends can still see your stuff even though you've locked down your security and privacy. And, of course, Facebook is still looking at everything you do, aggregating the information, marketing to you and your friends. So it's not private at all. That's a fantasy that Facebook is perpetrating.
Mark, how are you doing with this? Has the reception been pretty good?
So the reception is excellent, and right now we're really preparing the site and the apps for 2014. We believe there's a big shift coming as consumer awareness grows. I had a nice article in USA Today 2 weeks ago. You know, I've been on Fox News. I write for Huffington Post about privacy, and we believe there's going to be a huge shift. So what we're doing is perfecting the product. We want people to sign up and join and give us feedback. It's a very sophisticated platform that's very easy to use.
Is there a charge
it's really easy.
To sign up to Scruples?
Right, scruples.com.
Is there a charge to sign up to
it? There is no charge. Scruples is what we call a freemium model, as it should be. So you
get
all these great services.
Then, if you're not selling the advertising?
Now listen, no, this is my favorite question. My favorite question is, how does Scruples make money? Because we're here to prove that, you know, as traditional businesses have always proven, you make money by doing the right thing, by providing people with the services they really enjoy and want. So Scruples has an advertising model. But imagine this. There's no spying. It anonymizes your data. You pick your ad.
So you're not taking Scruples cookies and you're not pounding people and you're not keeping their private information. And if people want to take advantage of your advertisers, that's their choice.
Exactly. If they want no ads, it'll be just $2.99 a month. This is patent pending, and we're building the model now. So right now, the Scruples is completely no ads. And the ad model will launch at the end of Q1 in 2014, but it's revolutionary.
I think it's great. So everybody out there, we were speaking to Mark Weinstein, and that sounds like he's got the way of the future. And you go to scruples.com, spelled S-G-R-O-U-P-L-E-S. I get that right?
That's exactly right. And then have a great time and be yourself, because we're all censoring ourselves on Facebook and Google now, because we all know they're not private and they're spying on us. Be your real self at Scruples with your real friends, with your real family.
Sounds great. Mark, thank you so much for coming on. I think we've all learned a lot from this conversation.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, buyyourtimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
www.theideamagazine.com. We've got news up there. We've got an audio section. We've got our comedy zone, as well as videos and interviews with entertainers and musicians from around the country. We have our country music section. We have reporters all over the country, including in Canada and overseas in Europe. Check out The Idea Magazine at www.theideamagazine.com. Photo galleries, audio, print editions coming soon to www.theideamagazine.com.
It's hard to predict, the stock market is falling as the speculators fault that gas prices are rising. Well, it's hard to understand where to put your money. With everything that's going on, it ain't funny. Don't invest in this, don't invest in that, there is no future. Don't buy here and don't buy there, it may be a loser. But listen, my friend, I've got a guaranteed investment. Put your money in Rosetta Stone. Here's the reason. Learn to speak Chinese. That's where we're heading. The dead clock is running, and they're still spending. It's Finance 101, my friend, can't spend more than you got. And Rosetta Stone will be the investment of your life.
Welcome back to the show. We're having a new weekly segment called The Stock Market Moron with Fred Claridge. Fred, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stuart. It's my pleasure.
Fred, tell us about your background as a stockbroker.
Well, I became a stockbroker in the mid-1960s, around 1968. I was in the Beverly Hills office of a firm which was the predecessor to Prudential. The name of the firm at that time was Bache. And those were marvelous days where We were in a time when people used to line their floors with sawdust to absorb the blood. Oh no, no. that was some of my dealings, but we basically did very good. It was a good market, and I had a wonderful career.
And how did you do for your clients? Did they make a lot of money?
No, I had a wonderful career. My clients never did.
So I think what we're saying is, folks, when Fred gives you a tip for the stock and what's going to happen in the market, if he's selling, you buy, and if he's buying, you sell, then you're sure to make money.
Well, that's become the secret in the last decade. no doubt about it.
Fred, is there any hot stock that you would recommend today for the folks to get out there and make a lot of money?
Well, there are a couple. I'm still a very big believer in healthcare, and I think there are a couple of stocks that I like. One is called Edwards Life Science. They're on the New York Stock Exchange, and they make a valve for the heart that does not require this major intrusive surgery. And,
really?
Since I've been in the stock, it's only down about 20%, so you can buy it a lot cheaper than I did.
Well, Fred's still buying it, everybody wait till it gets really down there. Then you can come in and buy.
And that seems to be the secret of how to invest. Now, now that the oil sanctions have been reversed from Iran, I'm looking at a portfolio of nothing but oil companies, so I found a problem. By the way, this Edwards Life Science had a high this year of 94.98, a low of 62.17. It's right now trading at 64.64. Now, I got in a little early in the low 90s, but and I might sell if it breaks 62, but this is really one to look at.
Well, this is great advice. And Fred, I want to bring everyone up to date a little bit. I happen to know Fred pretty well for a long time. And Fred, in his stock market trading, actually lost over $1 million in one day. Isn't that right?
I did that, and I did that very cleverly by selling uncovered put call options. In other words, what I would agree to do is buy a stock at $60, no matter where the price went. Now, if the price went up, I would do very well. If the price went down, I would get killed. Obviously, like I bought Bank of America at 60. Today it's 15. So these things happen.
Well, so again, folks, I want to thank you, Fred, for coming on this week's little brief segment. We're talking to Fred Claridge, the stock market moron, lost over $1 million in a day. Thanks, Fred.
And I'll teach you guys how.
Thank you.
This is Stuart Venner. I really want to thank you for tuning into this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you want to find out more, talk with us, or make suggestions for topics or guests, then follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Stuart Venner or Facebook at facebook.com/Stuart Venner's World. Remember, you can hear all of our shows and see what's new at stuartvenner.com. If you want to hear the Stuart Venner Show in your own area, contact your local radio station and request us. In fact, hound them. Tune in next week for more amazing guests and stories. Thank you.
Ah! I wet myself.
Aren't you ashamed?
Good night, good night, until we meet again. Adios, au revoir, I'll be the same.
That's all, folks.